Pastor, have you ever wanted to better understand philosophy and its impact on today's culture, but didn't know where to begin? Have you struggled to find a biblical approach to the topic? Well, Concordia University, Wisconsin has an exciting, free, online course starting on January 11th entitled Catechistic, Using Your Head in Pastoral Work. It's taught by noted Lutheran philosopher Dr. Gregory Schultz. Sign up before January 11th by clicking the Catechistic logo at issuesetc.org.
Now, we have been doing this series with Pastor Brian Wolfmiller on evangelical cliches, and some of them really, they just are obvious. Some of them are quite trite. You can see almost immediately when you hear some of them that there must be something wrong. You may not be able to figure out exactly what's wrong, but there must be something wrong with them. This one that we're going to deal with today doesn't sound so bad. Christianity is a journey. That kind of metaphor is often employed in evangelical circles, isn't it? You're on your way someplace. You're not there yet, but you're on your way someplace. Kind of goes along with that, God isn't finished with me yet, I'm a work in progress, all those kinds of things that were those are the old evangelical cliches. No one is so quaint as to say those things anymore. What is meant by this cliche that Christianity is a journey? Pastor Brian Wolfmiller joins us every week to respond to an evangelical cliche today. Christianity is a journey. He is pastor of Hope Lutheran Church in Aurora, Colorado, co-host of a weekly radio talk show called Table Talk Radio, and host of a video series called Grappling with the Text, a production of Worldview Everlasting Television. Brian, welcome back.
Thank you.
This one doesn't sound so bad. What's your concern about Christianity is a journey?
Well, I will read you the little paragraph where this cliche was submitted for our consideration by a listener. And by the way, this marks the end of the listener-submitted cliches. So if anyone listening has something they want us to talk about, let us know. But it goes like this. Here's an evangelical cliche I hear with my family. Christianity is a journey. It's usually used to maintain anything goes. When I tell someone that yoga mysticism is wrong, I get told that Christianity is a journey. So if yoga is part of someone else's journey, you can't really say it's wrong. In general, this is used to relativize Christianity and make anything go. If church is not part of your journey, ditch it. Eastern practice, float your boat, incorporate that. So that's how this the listeners hearing this idea that Christianity is a journey is being used is basically a cliche to say you can't judge me. Whatever works in my spiritual life, whatever makes me comfortable, whatever engages me spiritually, must be good, and you can't bring any sort of theological or doctrinal standard against that to condemn it. After all, we're all on our own journey.
It sounds as though this one's kind of been maybe unwittingly borrowed from the moral therapeutic deism, kind of the Oprah Winfrey spirituality out there.
Well, I think it is, and I think we're starting to see more and more clearly this shift in evangelicalism. I mean, it's been so long ago that it's hard for us to remember that the kind of modern evangelical church started as the fundamentalist church. It started, in the turn of the century, with the turn of the 19th century, with the publication of Fundamentals, and it was a return to kind of strict. A number of strict propositions about the truth of the scriptures. It was to fight the modernist move in the church, but that fundamentalism pretty quickly became evangelicalism, where the focus was less on kind of a rigid orthodoxy and more on a expanding of the church and a focus on the preaching of Christ. But it's shifting even further away from its fundamentalist roots nowadays. And is really, in some ways, major portions of the evangelical church are tripping over itself to join the liberal theology of the mainline denominations. And this, I think, is probably what you kind of hinted at there. There's a huge influence of the culture on our theological positions, and this would be one way that the idea of being tolerant and being accepting would sneak its way into the Christian life and Christian thinking.
So there are unstated presuppositions or assumptions in this cliche, as there often are. Christianity is a journey, and you've touched upon a few of them, but let's make them clear as we can, because if this were just simply saying, look, Christians grow in both knowledge and in good works and in all sorts of things. So if someone is not at the same place you are, don't judge them. Every Christian is kind of on that journey, but that's not what it's saying, is it?
No. And that's nice what you say. I mean, this is how basically Paul starts each of his epistles. He has these three things he's always concerned with: faith, love, and hope. And he says, "I pray every day for all you Christians that I thanking God for your faith and for your love and for your hope, and then I pray that you would grow in faith and in love and in hope. And in fact, that's why I'm writing you this letter." So if the Lord is willing, the Holy Spirit would work through this scripture to increase your faith and love and hope. And there's a great deal of patience that Christians are always showing with people who are learning. And in some ways, we're all learning. That's what it means to be a disciple of Christ. We're always learning every day about the profound depths of our own sin, about the profound and unfathomable heights of the Lord's mercy. We're learning the scripture. And so, yeah, that is good, but that's not what this cliche is saying. This cliche fit there's kind of two classes of metaphors, I think, with which we look at the world. There are the metaphors of activity and motion, and there are the metaphors of stability. These probably come under the broad categories of institution versus movement, and this is kind of really how people have talked about this. And these are two competing ways of looking at the world. Are we living in a world in which things are instituted by God, established by Him, where they stay put? Or are we looking at a world where everything is shifting around, everything is changing, nothing is settled at all? And the idea that Christianity is a journey is a cliche to switch our mind from the institutional understanding of the world, which is taught in the Scriptures, to some sort of changing, fluid, always moving, never settled metaphor of explaining the world, which the devil loves to tempt us towards.
So this isn't a journey that most journeys are defined, and I'm talking about literal journeys that we take. Most of them, unless you're just going on a road trip or something to nowhere, are defined by their destination. This really isn't a journey defined by a destination, is it?
Well, in fact, so I did a Google search on this phrase, on this cliche, to see how it was coming up. And every time, the full cliche was this: Christianity is not a destination, it's a journey. So this cliche is pitting the idea of journey with the idea of destination. It's pitting the idea of moving with the idea of arriving. And the idea is supposed to be that, look, as Christians, we have never arrived. In some ways, it wants to change the words of Jesus on the cross, "It is finished," into "Let's get going." It's a complete shift in the way of thinking about ourselves and the work of God and our lives that makes everything unsettled and purposely unsettled. You're not supposed to be comfortable with your understanding of God, with your confession, with your doctrine, with the good works that the Lord has put in front of you. You're supposed to be in a constant state of unsettledness, and that is part of what it means that our life is a journey.
If it's not just not defined by its destination, but it repudiates the notion that anyone can ever, so to speak, arrive, that anyone can arrive at truth, arrive at what God has said to the exclusion of all other claims, arrive at sound practice, all those kinds of things. If it repudiates that, what does this actually mean then in the actual life of a Christian? I mean, you said how it's used, but what does it mean? What does it tell me to believe or do or think?
Well, there's a thing that our old Lutheran theologians identified as the monster of uncertainty. And I think that is a fitting, really fitting image and metaphor. That uncertainty attacks us, and that the greatest assaults that the Christian conscience faces is from uncertainty. There's this line in, I think it's in the Apology of the Augsburg Confession, where Philip Melanchthon is writing, 1530-something, defending the Augsburg Confession that the Lutherans had put out there to tell the emperor what they believed in. And he kind of pauses from his argument, and he says, "Our opponents have no concern for spiritual things, and they have no idea that doubt is that the true Christian would rather face death than doubt. that doubt is the great enemy of the Christian faith. And so the Lutheran theologians have identified that in Catholic theology, particularly, there's this monster of uncertainty. You can never be sure that when you close your eyes to sleep the sleep of death, that you'll open them to see the face of Jesus. You can never know that for sure. But this uncertainty is creeping more and more into evangelicalism, so that we're supposed to have doubts about our doctrine, doubts about our confession, doubts about what is true, because the opposite, certainty, is understood as arrogance. And this, the exaltation of doubt and the despising of certainty is an incredible danger, not only to the Christian mind, but also to the Christian heart.
Is there something also dangerously individualistic about this cliche, Christianity is a journey, if everybody's on their own journey?
Yeah, it breaks in two directions on that question. I wrote down some notes about it, and in fact I said here, one of the problems is this embraces the kind of individualistic and personal aspects of evangelicalism, that I am my own theological person, so you can't judge me. My confession is my own. It kind of belongs to me. And that is certainly a danger, and it's one of the marks of evangelicalism that we want to make sure that we avoid, that when we confess the faith, we're confessing it with the people around us. We not only say, I believe, but we say, we believe. We pray together, we believe together, we confess together, and all these sorts of things. But I think this Christianity as a journey also breaks in the other direction. In fact, I was reading some article where a person was talking about Christianity as a journey, and they were emphasizing the communal nature of Christianity. And this is going to be the liberal kind of strain of evangelicalism that says, look, we're in a Christian community, and we are a traveling people. So we as a Christian community are also journeying, we're discovering, God continues to reveal himself to us. Now this is really nothing different than the mainline churches talk about, how the Holy Spirit continues to speak through culture and reveal himself to the community. So that there's always some sort of new doctrine. And it's amazingly convenient how that new doctrine always matches up with whatever the culture is saying, so that the Holy Spirit is understood to be speaking not so much through the words of the Bible, but through the latest political developments in liberal society, which is really, really quite a problem. So I think that the idea that life is a journey, it can break badly towards the individualistic way, and it can also break badly towards the understanding that we're a community on a journey as well.
Well, I guess that raises my next question, which is, how do you do theology if Christianity is a journey, not a destination, but a journey?
Well, you don't do theology. I mean, that's one of the great dangers of this cliche, that theology is about assertions. Remember, there's this great fight between Luther and Erasmus. I mean, this is the bondage. This is what the bondage of the will came out of. And Erasmus says, "Hey, look, I don't so much like assertions. I think it's haughty to make assertions, to come to these kind of clear doctrinal conclusions about things." And Luther says, "Well, can you do theology if you don't have assertions? Because that's what the theology is. It's assertions." And he goes on to say, this is one of these great lines by Luther, the Holy Spirit loves assertions, which is true. If you don't have assertions, you don't have theology, because what you're doing is you're saying there's no such thing as truth, there's only truthiness, or being towards the truth, or traveling towards the truth. It replaces the idea of theology and the truth of the Scriptures with this kind of mystic enlightenment that I'm moving towards the light, I'm getting closer to the truth. But if you ever arrive at the truth, this is the problem that this cliche is trying to embrace. If I ever arrive at some sort of certain conclusion that this thing is true, then I've exalted myself above some other person. I've become prideful and arrogant, and now I'm no longer on the journey, but I've arrived, which means my Christianity is in danger. So we can never be so certain that what we have to say is true. Because, after all, we're all just getting closer to truth on this journey of our Christian life.
So with just the wave of a hand, it declares all assertions, all certainties, all truth claims that claim to be absolute, false. Because if you've arrived, you've left the journey, you're no longer a Christian, no longer seeking the truth if you claimed you found it.
Yep, that's exactly right. And that is troublesome. I mean, there's, you know, we talked about this doubt. What we're facing with this cliche and with a lot of evangelical theology as it moves to the left and becomes more and more liberal, what we're facing is the exaltation of doubt and uncertainty and the demotion of certainty. And there's really nothing more dangerous to our conscience than that, because the Bible and the Holy Spirit speaks to us in certainties. Jesus says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me." Now, that is not on the journey. That is a conclusion. That is a statement. That is a fact. And for the Christian, it is the fact of greatest comfort, because the one who is the way and the truth and the life has me. He's baptized me. He's called me by his name. But all that comfort is erased when certainty is erased by putting everyone on a journey.
Pastor Brian Wolfmiller is our guest. It's Monday, January the 4th. We're responding to the evangelical cliche that's more dangerous than I thought it was. Christianity is a journey. We'll be right back. Stay tuned.
There's not much time left today.
Listen to the best of the church's Christmas music during the entire Christmas season at LutheranPublicRadio.org. During the 12 days of Christmas, Lutheran Public Radio, LutheranPublicRadio.org.
Thank you for helping us make budget again last year. Thanks to your support, Lutheran Public Radio has been independent and in the black for 8 consecutive years. You've heard us say, now only our listeners can cancel us, and we mean it. Thanks for listening, thanks for your prayers, thanks for your financial support. And we're looking forward to partnering with you in 2016. Lutheran Talk, Lutheran Music, Lutheran Public Radio.
Old theology, new technology. You're listening to Issues, etc.
In a world awash with all sorts of information, opinions, and ideas, there is still a place where God's Word is the central and only focus. Messiah Lutheran Church, 801 North Madison, Lebanon, Illinois. At 9 o'clock on Sunday mornings, God's people gather there to listen to Him. There you will find His words of law and gospel, and of course, our Lord's Holy Supper. Bible classes focus on the Bible and the Lutheran confessions. Come, listen, believe, and live, and check out our website at messiahlebanon.org.
You'll find descriptions of real events and actual confessions of demonic encounters in the Issues, Etc. Book of the Month for January, Afraid, Demon Possession and Spiritual Warfare in America. It's written by Issues, Etc. regular guest Dr. Robert Bennett. Afraid is published by Concordia Publishing House. Their phone number, 1-800-325-3040, or browse before you buy at issuesetc.org. Afraid, Demon Possession and Spiritual Warfare in America. Welcome back to Issues, Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. It's our weekly series responding to evangelical cliches today. Christianity is a journey. Pastor Brian Wolfmiller is our guest, pastor of Hope Lutheran Church in Aurora, Colorado, co-host of a weekly radio talk show called Table Talk Radio, and host of a video series called Grappling with the Text, a production of Worldview Everlasting TV. You'll find a link to these resources under the Listen On Demand page at issuesetc.org. So, Brian, I guess if you couple this cliche with, and you were talking earlier about the influence of the culture, with the general relativism of postmodern culture, that is, that no truth claim, this fits beautifully, like hand in glove, with the relativism of truth, of everything under postmodernism, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. But you have, but then what happens is you have to replace it with something, see? So I think to still, you know, be a Christian, you just can't let everything go. So what it's being replaced with, so now if Christianity is not it's not about the destination, it's about the journey, then it's not about salvation, but rather it's about my good works. And my good works just happen to be defined, I mean, postmodern and or post-postmodern or whatever we are these days has this great kind of charity culture. I mean, everybody has a cause nowadays. I mean, even you can't buy a cup of coffee or eat a chicken sandwich without enlisting yourself in some sort of cause. And most of these liberal causes, or most of these causes, are particularly liberal. But you have these kind of the mercy effect of the cause, and that has been completely taken up by evangelicalism. So when you replace the goal, the end, the idea of heaven or the resurrection or salvation, with the journey, then the journey is almost always going to be defined by some sort of cause. This is taken up theologically by all this talk about kingdom. So now all these evangelicals are criticizing their evangelical past and how all the old preachers used to talk about fire and brimstone, and they didn't ever teach about the kingdom of God. Jesus doesn't talk about heaven. He talks about the kingdom of God, which is here, right here and now, this kind of cliche, this kind of talk. And so Christianity is a journey. Embraces this idea of tolerance, but it also embraces this postmodern idea of the social cause, and that's what the church is now about. And it's the business of the church to engage in these social causes, not to engage in the old-fashioned and outdated idea of saving people's souls.
So this really transfers. It goes from faith, which has an object and a destination, and we'll talk about that in a minute. Paul describes. Christianity is a journey of sorts when he says that I'm not saying I've arrived, but I'm going to get there. But it replaces faith, which has an object and a destination, with action that has – what does action have when it replaces faith?
Yeah, well, a nothing. I mean, especially kind of charity action, the kind of empty charity action that we see today is it's an ironic sort of thing. You're trying to live outside of yourself by giving, but you're often almost completely self-serving. So you're kind of, it's an act of atonement for your suburban guilt. You know, I have all this stuff, so I got to give some of it away. So it's a false atonement brought on by this kind of false sense of guilt for our abundance or our discontent at the lives that we live or whatever. It's a theological disaster, and now the church is going to start to embrace that idea of that Christianity is not about what you believe and confess, but rather about what you do. It's going to completely cut it off from any hope of ever hearing the gospel. I mean, I wonder if there was hope of hearing the gospel before, but if you embrace this idea, it's gone. I mean, when Rick Warren says something like deeds, not creeds, what he's cutting you off from is the glorious and comforting confession that Jesus, the true Son of God, for us men and for our salvation, became man and suffered under Pontius Pilate. When you make that move from the doctrine of the church and the teaching of the church to the vision of the leader and the activity of the kingdom, then you're making the move from completely away from the gospel, and all you have left is some sort of distorted and palsied version of the law.
You mentioned early on in this conversation that this plays right into the hands of kind of an eclectic spirituality, eclectic spiritual practices. And do we see that being the fruit of this cliche that Christianity is a journey with no, not a destination, but a journey? Do we see that fruit being born in evangelicalism today, an eclectic spirituality?
Yeah, I think so. You know, that fruit probably ripened and then over-ripened and fell off the branch in the thing that was the emergent church, which was the attempt at embracing this super eclectic version of spirituality. I mean, all those books coming out of that had that very kind of eclectic nature, and I don't know what's become of that. I mean, it seems to me like that fruit's fallen and rotted away because I just don't hear about the emergent church anymore. And perhaps that's because there's not much for it to emerge from. I mean, as evangelicalism has made this shift to the left. The idea that the emergent church could be the kind of cultural rebels coming out of evangelicalism, that rebellion has ceased to make any sense anymore, because basically all the churches have embraced this kind of understanding that we're not here to save men's souls, we're here to be about the kingdom work. In fact, you know, one of the criticisms of evangelicalism is the is their insistence on the altar call and the decision for Christ, but I think that it's not going to be around much longer. That idea has almost been lost in evangelicalism because of this shift of a cultural accommodation that we see before us.
So does the person who buys into this cliche that Christianity is not a destination but a journey, does he have anything from Jesus on this matter? Can he bring Jesus along to support this idea?
There's a couple places where we talk about journey in the Bible. Jesus, in fact, uses it, you know, in a couple of his parables. But always the person going on a journey was Jesus, and we were the ones that were left at home to tend to business, which I think is pretty, I mean, I think that's nice. You know, the master leaves, and you don't know what time he's coming back, so you got to be ready. And he leaves you with talents, or he leaves you with work to do, or he leaves you at least to not get drunk and be asleep when he gets back. So there is the journey metaphor, but it's always talking about the, I suppose, the journey of Jesus to the right hand of the Father and his coming back in glory. There's a couple of other metaphors which might be, people might at first think are similar to the journey metaphor, but in fact, when you look at them a little bit closer, they're the opposite. There's the image of a race, that our life is running a race, and there's the image of being a pilgrim people. So that it's saying that we're in the middle of something. That you know, the Paul says, I've run the race, I've kept the faith, etc. Peter says that we're strangers in this world. We're a pilgrim people. Both of those images are not pointing to the race or the being a strange people, but they're pointing towards the end, to the finish line, to the time when the race is over, to the time when the Lord has calls us home in the resurrection to a city where we belong. And that is the opposite of a journey. That is eyes fixed on the destination where Jesus is bringing us by his word and forgiveness.
Pastor Brian Wolfmiller is pastor of Hope Lutheran Church in Aurora, Colorado, co-host of a weekly radio talk show called Table Talk Radio, and host of a video series called Grappling with the Text, a production of Worldview Everlasting TV. Brian, thanks for being our guest.
Oh, you got it. Always a pleasure.
Tomorrow on Issues Etc., we're going to look forward to Sunday morning, according to the one-year lectionary, talking with Pastor David Peterson about the boy Jesus there, 12 years old, in the temple. We'll discuss pop culture and the GOP presidential race. Pastor Jonathan Fisk will be our guest, and we'll have Pastor Ted Giese review and discuss Star Wars, The Force Awakens. I invite your questions and your comments for that review and discussion of Star Wars, The Force Awakens at our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/issuesETC. Post your questions or comments there at facebook.com/issuesETC. I'm Todd Wilkin. I'll talk with you tomorrow. Thanks for listening to Issues Etc.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues Etc., P.O. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. Our Savior Lutheran, Westminster, Massachusetts. Redeemer Lutheran, Fairhope, Alabama. St. Matthew Lutheran, Stony Plain, Alberta, Canada. Holy Cross Lutheran, Moline, Illinois. St. Paul Lutheran, Munster, Indiana. St. John Lutheran, Racine, Wisconsin. Calvary Lutheran, Baltimore, Maryland. Reformation Lutheran, Afton, Missouri. Emmanuel Lutheran, Lima, Ohio. Risen Lord Lutheran, Taylorsville, Kentucky, Prince of Peace Lutheran, Crystal Lake, Illinois, and Trinity Lutheran, Elmore, Ohio. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Just go to issuesetc.org, click support, and print the one-page flyer. When your congregation becomes a congregational sponsor, we'll publicize your church on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. journal, the Issues Etc. 300.